Good morning. If you're wondering about this strange attire, this is a formal wear for the Philippines called a barong. And those of you who were here last week for Breaking Bread saw me with it. Thank you, Bum. I was out on a bike ride, as I am wont to do. I like to get some exercise. And on Thursday, I came across a car with a bumper sticker. It said, ride to live, live to ride. What do you live to? If you were going to have your bumper sticker there that said something to live and live to something, would it be live to fish, live to camp, live to surf, live to? We heard Eric Shorkin this morning at the Breaking of Bread said for some of his coworkers, it's live to play video games. That's what they're all about. What do you aspire to? Live to travel, live to go to movies. Those are things my wife and I both enjoy, but that we don't live for those things. What will make your life an unqualified success? What is it that you live for? Last week, Gary's sermon ended up in Psalm 19, verse 14. Say, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And that is a picture, a starting, an introduction to what we're going to talk about today, to be well-pleasing to the Lord. That may the words of my heart, mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. That's what we're going to be talking about, having things being pleasing in your sight. Rachel, I'm not able to get the... There we go. Thank you. That's what we're going to be discussing, is what, this is what I am living for. That's what I would put on the my bumper sticker, and I'm not able to advance. So what do I live for? I live for showing my gratitude to God. We like to babysit our granddaughters. I have them over for sleepovers, and one of the things we work on with them is their manners, and if we give them something, we say, what do you say? And we're looking for that thank you. Well, what do we say to God for all that he has given to us? The one opportunity to do that will be at the judgment seat of Christ. That's what this verse talks about. To please the Lord, to show him our appreciation. 2 Corinthians 5:9 says, therefore we have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. That's in the context of the judgment seat of Christ that Paul is saying this. The home he's referring to is heaven. Whether there is at home in heaven or absent here on the earth, his ambition, what he is living for, what he is giving his life for, is to be pleasing to the Lord. That word pleasing is eurastos. I'm probably not pronouncing that right in the Greek. It means well-pleasing. It's two words, you meaning well or good, and then arestos, pleasing. It's fully agreeable, acceptable. A couple of the verses we'll look at today uses the word acceptable instead of well-pleasing. That's one way it can be translated. Sometimes it's just the word arestos, it's pleasing. But most of the references that we'll be looking at today are well-pleasing. And that is 36 times in the New Testament that's referred to well-pleasing to God. It talks about pleasing to other people, pleasing to men, don't please yourself and things. But 36 times in the New Testament, this word is used to refer to being pleasing to God. It's a very common theme in the New Testament that we'll be looking at this topical message today, looking at verses that have to do using this phrase, well-pleasing. The next verse is one of my life verses that is very dear to me, and this is Matthew 25:21 is the key text for today. And before we look at that verse, I just want to get you to think for a minute. There's a song I really enjoy. I can only imagine. I thought, Dave, after we talked, I thought, oh man, I should have asked you to do that one. That is a song that I really enjoy. And when my wife and I listen to that, most of you are familiar with it. I'm not going to sing it. Yeah, I know you're appreciative of that. I am going to quote part of it. And it says, I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. And then it goes to describe some scenarios and what he's going to do or what he imagines, what he thinks about he will do when he's before the Lord. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? And whenever we hear this song, I always answer the questions. And so when it says, will I dance for you, Jesus? I say, nope. Not going to be dancing for Jesus. Will I, in awe of you, be still? And I say, yep. And the next line, will I stand in your presence? I say, nope. The song actually says, to my knees. I change it to, on my face will I fall? And I say, yep. And the next one is, will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I don't know. I don't have a good answer for that. I'm not sure. I can only imagine. But I'd like you to imagine for a second, not so much what you will do when you stand, those of you who are believers, that will stand before the Lord after death. What will he say to you? What is it that you hope for, imagine that the Lord will say to you? Well, this is what I hope to hear from the Lord is in this verse, Matthew 25:21. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Share the joy of your master over your life. That he's, the clear context here is that he is rejoicing over the well done work that this slave has done. And that's what I want to hear. That's what I live for, to hear those words from the Lord. This is part of a parable. Parables don't hold on all counts. But I believe this is part of the major point of the parable, and those things do hold. You can't count on every detail in every parable, but I think this is part of the major point of the parable. It's well supported elsewhere in Scripture. The point is that God rewards those who are responsible for what he gives them, and it gives him great pleasure to do so. And so this is what I am aspiring to, is to have this kind of commendation at the end of my life. But this is not just for the end of your life, this desire to please the Lord. We can see another context that there's also I'm not getting it to advance again. Get some help? Thank you. Every day we can have an opportunity to be pleasing to the Lord. It's not just something that, oh, well, I'll get around to it later, or at the end of my life, I want to be sure of that. It is something that can happen every day. In the life of Jesus, when he was baptized, he said, and behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. He got an attaboy from the Father. He was well-pleasing to the Father. It reminds me when my boys were playing sports. Jeremy probably remembers this. And I would be in the stands, and when they did some amazing act, which was frequent, they're quite athletic, they would hear me cry out, that's my son! And that's what God is saying here to Jesus. That's my son. I think maybe that would have caused did cause Jeremy to wince, Joshua to wince when there's dad up in the stands, you know, crying out. But I don't think Jesus was wincing here. And I won't wince if I hear this from the Lord. Sorry that I get emotional. But at old age, I guess I'm more sentimental. I really look forward to hearing that. This last year in the Philippines, I really focused on the spiritual life of my 11 students and offered to have lunch with them and talk about where they stood with God And all but one of my students accepted that offer. And one of the young men asked to have lunch with me at least four times. And one of the things I had asked, I gave all my students a little survey. What were the top 10 things we did this year that you enjoyed the most? You know, extracurricular. And I didn't expect to get, you know, math and writing, you know, but the extracurricular things we did. We had a paper airplane contest. We had a banana split reward if they learned all their timetables up till 12. We had movies. We had many different things. And this young man, Gray is his name, said that his top thing on the list was heaven, lunch with me. And even more touching to me was that he said that we were talking about how he was, I think he was a believer coming into third grade, but he struggled a bit. And he said, how can I know if I really have Jesus as my Lord? And how can I know what he wants me to do? And I said, well, you got to go to the scriptures, you know, in the Bible. And we talked about some of the things. He wants you to go to church. He wants you to pray. He said, well, sometimes God talks to me. He gives me signs. And I said, oh, that's interesting. Can you give me an example of a sign that you've received from God? And he said, well, I asked God this last year to show me how to be a better Christian, and he sent me you. So that really touched me, and I felt that I could hear God's well done that day. That made my day, made my week, made my month, that I was an answer to prayer for my student, Gray. Those are the kind of things that I live for. You might say, well, this, of course, God is pleased with his son, you know, that but I can't be anybody like that. I'm not the son of God, the only begotten son of God. Job 1:8 shows that it is possible for people, not just the son of God. I'm not advancing again. Thank you. There we go. So the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. God was bragging on Job. He can brag on us if we are living in a way to be well-pleasing to him. I would like to be included in that. Maybe not with all the consequences that happened in Job's life. But that doesn't happen every time somebody is well-pleasing to the Lord. I think this shows that others, in addition to Jesus, can be well pleasing to the Lord. So, I want to be clear. This is not what I'm... this is the card. I found a card years ago that I really liked, a Christian card, and said, I don't know what you did, but I just saw the Lord. That was on the cover. And then you open it up, and it says, and he was smiling. Well, I bought a bunch of those and gave those out. But that's what I want to do. I want to be able to, not just at the end of my life, you know, but every day, to try to aspire to make the Lord smile. So I want to be clear. Thank you. I want to be clear what I'm not trying to do. This outline is in your notes and has a place to fill in the blanks, as I am wont to do. Have your opportunity to do that. So the second point, what I am not trying to do here, I want to make it clear. Sometimes people misunderstand what I talk about being pleasing to the Lord. I'm not trying to earn my salvation. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Salvation is a free gift. I can't earn my way to get heaven. I can't pay God. I'm not trying to adjust scales. This message is primarily aimed at believers. If you are not yet a Christian, this is where you need to focus, is that this you don't need to be well-pleasing to the Lord in order to get to heaven. You need to put your faith in Christ's death on the cross to pay for your sins and take him as your Lord and Savior. That's what you need to do. So this is not, I'm not talking about salvation here. I'm also not talking about, some people think they need to earn God's love, that they're not very lovable, and they want to try to be more lovable, that God will love them more. And that is not possible and not necessary. It says in John 17:23, Jesus said in his high priestly prayer, you love them just as you loved me. The verse ends there. And that the Father already loves us as much as he loves Jesus. It's not going to be any more than that. We don't have to earn God's love. That's not what this is about. And lastly, some people think that it's earning God's blessings, that it's possible, well, if I do these good things for God, then he's going to owe me, you know, that he's going to need to bless me because I did this for him. And but God is no man's debtor, and that we can't obligate him in that way. It says in Romans 8:32 that he who did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? God is going to give us everything we need, whether we are living lives pleasing to him or not. And besides, what we're talking about here is not getting things from God. It is expressing our appreciation, our gratitude to God. That's what this is about. We're not trying to get more. I came to a conclusion a long time ago that if God never did anything else for me, he did enough in sending his son and paying for my sins, and he doesn't owe me anything else. I'm not trying to get anything more from him. I want to express my appreciation. One of the songs we sang this morning had the line, I gave my life for thee, Jesus saying, what hast thou done for me? I want to, after all that I cost him, all the pain I cost him in redeeming me, and all the grief I've caused him by the sin in my life, I want to express my thanks to him, to show my appreciation for all that he has done for me. And that's what this is about. That's what we're talking about today. It's not earning salvation. It's not earning God's love. It's not earning God's blessings. This is showing our gratitude to God for all that he's done for us. So, maybe you're convinced, wow, I really want to do that. I need to aspire more to be pleasing to the Father. I want to bring a smile to the lips of God. How can I do that? What will that entail doing that? So that's what this next point on your outline is what can we do to please God? So we're going to talk about 8 verses that give some specifics about there's the first two are sort of general, and the next 6 are more specific about what you can do to please God. And I'd like you to pick one of those verses that you, assuming you haven't already got that all and you're all set, that there's room for improvement in your life, as there certainly is in mine, that you pick one of those verses that you want to work on, that you want to say, this week, I'm going to focus on bringing a smile to God's face by working on one of these things. So if you, that's why it says pick one there. I'm going to ask at the end which ones you guys have picked, if you are with me. So the first one is to follow Christ's example, general guideline. John 8:29, Jesus says, and he who you sent me is with me, and he has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. Amazing that he could say that. None of us will be able to say that. I always do the things that are pleasing to him. Jesus could say that. We can't, but we can aspire to that. We can aspire to live like Jesus. There used to be, back in the day, only old-timers remember, it used to be a common thing for Christians to have WWJD. Who knows what that stands for, WWJD. What would Jesus do? Yeah, it's not so common now, but it was. And they had little, you know, rubber bracelets you could have. You had it on a T-shirt or something. Some of us like to wear Christian T-shirts. Anybody knows me, that's mostly what my T-shirt wardrobe is Christian T-shirts. But it's a good guy. What would Jesus do? If Jesus were here in this circumstance, if Jesus were here with this person, if Jesus were here in this context, how would he respond to this situation? And that's a good thing to aspire to try to be like him and always do the things that are pleasing to the Father. We're supposed to be conformed to the image of his son, and we can aspire in that. Well, that's pretty general. What are some more specific guidelines? This one still is fairly general, and then we'll get to some specifics. To keep the Lord's commandments. 1 John 3:22 says, and whatever we ask, We receive for him because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. So obey God's commands. Well, that's what Gray said. But which? Well, there's a lot of commands. Which? So that is still fairly general. But if there is some command that you know that you're not obeying or that you struggle to obey, that would be a good place to start. God doesn't say, you know, here's a smorgasbord of commands. Pick and choose what you want. He wants us to obey all of them. And if you are disobeying a command of God, he wants you to correct that. He doesn't give you choice. He says, well, that's okay. You can just keep disobeying there, but let's work on these other areas. If he's convicted you of an area in your life that you need to improve on, then he wants that to happen first, now. And so that would be a good place to start. All right, let's get a little bit more specific now. So what can you do to please God? There's a couple now that are speaking of towards God, things towards God. That's the next point in your outline, 3B, is what should we do to please God in ways that are focused on him? So Colossians 1:10, the next verse is increasing in the knowledge of God and bearing fruit. Colossians 1:10 says that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So those are things that we should aspire to in order to be more pleasing to God. Bearing fruit in every good work. So good works that result in spiritual fruit, the fruit of converts. I think there's three major areas spiritual fruit falls in. Converts, leading people to Christ, being a witness, being a testimony. Character, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And then the fruit of conduct. So converts, character, and conduct. Righteousness is the fruit of righteousness is referred to three times in the New Testament. Those are bearing that kind of good fruit, the fruit of converts, the fruit of character, the fruit of conduct. That's one thing that will be pleasing to God. The end part of that verse says, increasing in the knowledge of God. This is not just head knowledge that I can spout all these facts about what God is like, but it is getting to know God intimately and then aspiring to be like him, especially those traits that we can share with him, that he has, that we can aspire to, love and mercy and kindness and those kind of things. There are traits that we can't aspire to. I can't aspire to be sovereign. I can't aspire to be omnipresent, omnipotent, but I can worship God for those things. So getting to know him more and aspiring to be like him in ways that I can, that is, if we're increasing in the knowledge of God, that is pleasing to him. A couple years ago, I was convicted about this and decided I needed to get to know God better. So in my quiet time, every day for years now, in addition to looking for other kinds of application, I look for attributes of God, the way I can get to know God better. And so I have this little book that I have put just those attributes. I have another quiet time devotional book, but this is where I record the attributes of God I found, and I'm up to 385. There's a lot of different attributes of God that are in the scriptures. And I'm trying to not just have those in a book or have those in my head, but to try to aspire to be like the Lord in these ways. That is something I think brings a smile to God's face as we aspire to that. Another thing we can do is to live holy, have our lives be a living holy sacrifice and to do his will. Romans 12:1 says, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. That's just verse 1. Acceptable to God, that's the well-pleasing, that's the same word. So have our lives be a living and holy sacrifice. So most of us don't have to worry about the living part. We are living. It's the holy part that is challenging. And so if you know some area of lacking personal holiness that God's convicted you about, that would be a good thing to aspire to try to have your life be a more holy sacrifice. God, the Old Testament, wouldn't accept the sacrifice of defective lambs. We want to try to have our living sacrifice for him not have defects, not to be unholy. They say that the one problem with living sacrifices is that you tend to crawl off the altar. If you've done that, it'd be a good day today to crawl back on the altar, to have your life be a living sacrifice to Him. The second part of that verse is verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. That acceptable is the same word again, well-pleasing. That God's will is well-pleasing. So if you know what God's will is, so it's similar to what we were talking about before, but and you're fighting against it, that would be a good thing to choose, to be, I'm going to accept the will of God. I know God wants me to end this relationship. I know God wants me to start doing this. I know God, and you're fighting against that. Give in to the will of God, and that will be well pleasing in His sight. The next area is to praise and thank God. So one thing we can do towards God is not just increase in the knowledge of God and bear fruit for Him, not just have a living, holy sacrifice doing His will, but to praise God and thank Him. Hebrews 13:15 says, through Him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. That's something that we should be willing to do to be able to please Him, is to bring that sacrifice of praise. This verse does not contain the pleasing word. It's in the next verse. We'll see that in the next section, that these with such sacrifices, God is pleased. So we'll see that in a minute. But this praise to God is something that pleases Him. It's a sacrifice that is pleasing to Him and giving thanks to His name. I came to the conviction a number of years ago that I should start all my daily prayer times praising God. It's amazing how difficult that is for me to do. I want to leap right into my list of requests. That's what I got. This is what I want, God. I want this. And not all for me, it could be other people. But I have to stop, and Teresa can testify to this. We'll be having our prayer times together. And I say, okay, wait, I got to go back. I'm going to praise God first and then go into those things. And so I have done, I think, pretty well at doing that every day, starting with praise, and then go to thanks. Again, before I get to my list, I can't wait to get to my list, but thank God for what He's done for me the previous day, that I want to be pleasing to the Lord, not just there for my getting my prayers answered, but to be pleasing Him by this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. That'd be another area you might choose to how you want to be more pleasing to God. So the next area we talked about towards God, now we're talking about what you could do for others. So Hebrews 13:16, the next verse says that, and do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. So now we see that in addition to the sacrifice of praise and thanks, that this sacrifice of doing good and sharing is something that pleases God. So that ties that verse 15 is one of the things to be pleasing to God. This is this well-pleasing, again, the verse here, the word that is translated well-pleasing. So these are, we saw three verses that had to do with what we can do in our relationship with God to be pleasing in Him. Now we can see what we can do for others that is also pleasing to God, and doing good and sharing, doing kind, helpful, thoughtful, loving, beneficial things for others, especially for Christians, but for non-Christians as well, and sharing, contributing, having fellowship with. This word is actually, the word that's translated sharing is the word koinonia. So it's not just sharing financially, although we're going to talk about that in a minute in another verse, but it's having koinonia with others, partnering with them, participating with them. So if you are doing well in your personal relationship with God, but you're sort of isolated from believers, you're not really being a help to anybody else, you're not having an impact in in those around you for Christ, then this might be a good one for you to aspire to work on doing good and sharing in order to be pleasing to the Lord. The next one is on giving. So Philippians 4:18. Before I read that verse, I wanted you to think about, what is your favorite smell? What's your favorite aroma that you enjoy the most? That's, what would be some examples of things that you guys really enjoy smelling? Bacon, okay. Bread, Cinnabon, yeah, I can relate to that. Yes, my wife said her second favorite smell is coffee. Her first favorite smell is me. That might be the love talking, but if you're interested, you can come have a whiff after the sermon. That's her favorite smell is me. So we have the opportunity in this verse to be a fragrant aroma to God, that we can be the kind of thing, the aroma wafting up to the Lord, that he would enjoy as much as we enjoy Cinnabon or bread or coffee or me smells. So this material gift that Paul was received from the Philippians was that kind of sweet aroma that was pleasing to God. We have an opportunity to do that by our gifts to others and to the Lord at the church, but also not just to. There are times I like to have things sort of cut and dried, and so I like to, you know, have my giving to church, and I pray about how God wants me to give, and then I'm done with giving. I don't think that's the way that God intends, is that we need to be looking for other opportunities, not just what we give to church, but there might be other additional offerings or giving to causes that we can be aware of and be a help in. Those things are pleasing to God. Next area is, in addition to doing good and sharing and giving, the last one is sharing the gospel. 1 Thessalonians 2:4 says, "But just as we've been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who examines our hearts." So God has given us our bodies to be living and holy sacrifices to him. He's given us our words that we can praise him and we can share and be encouragement to other. But one other thing he has entrusted to us is the gospel. He's deemed us worthy to be entrusted with that. This entrusting is the same word that's usually translated believing. Again, my Greek pronunciation, pistio, 239 times in the New Testament, this word is translated believing. But here it says entrusting, that he believes in us. We believe in him, but he believes enough to trust us with the gospel. And we need to be worthy, trustworthy of what he has entrusted to us, the stewardship of the gospel. The good care of that gospel will be sharing it with one another. That's one way we can please God. This is pleasing to God that we are being faithful stewards of the gospel. This is the one I chose. I'm asking now, this is the done with the verses. Hopefully you can look back over, think which one you want to work on to be more pleasing to God. This is the one I need to work on. My wife is very good at this. She was telling me how she was witnessing to a man outside of the grocery store yesterday that was trying to raise money for suicide prevention and bullying response, and she was talking to him about the Lord. I don't do that very much. I've really been focusing on my 11 students and try to be very thorough and just making sure they believe and understand the gospel, but I need to go beyond just my students I'm reaching out to. That's my verse. Which one is yours? We'll talk about that in a minute. So how can we please God? We just got done point number three, and the outline is, what can we do to please God? How can we please God? And that's, I want to make sure that there are some key factors that you understand in attempting to please God, that it's not what to do, but how to go about trying to please God. And the first one is that faith is critical. So the verse is, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Same word there for He who comes to God must believe that he is, and that is, he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So we need to have faith. We can't do this on our own. We can't just crank this out. We can't do this in the flesh. If we think, okay, I'm going to bring a smile to God's lips, and this is what I'm going to do, and I'm just going to persevere in that. If we're trying to do it in our own strength, we're going to fall on our face. We need to trust God in order to have this be accomplished in our life. And fortunately, God has promised to bless us, to bless our efforts, and to equip us to be able to please him. Paul, the writer of Hebrews, is saying that may the God of peace, the verse before says, may the God of peace, and then it comes with this, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. So he is willing to be working in us, to equip us, to provide us everything we need to be pleasing to him. He doesn't just say, go please me and good luck and let me know when you're done. He is willing to work that in us. We have to depend on him. We can't just try to, again, crank it out on our own. And when we are successful, then to him be the glory forever and ever. I want to give credit that Gray's statement to me is not because I am some wonderful teacher. It's because God has worked in Gray's life through what I've been able to share of God's word and how God has led me. This is to God's glory, not mine. I'm not giving you these examples so you guys will have great awe and respect for me. Just trying to give examples of how we can do, how any of us can do with the strength that God provides and to bring him glory. And then lastly, by allowing him to equip us and to work through us. So Philippians 2:13, for God, it is God who is at work in with you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Again, the same word there, his good pleasure. He is the one that works that in us to make it possible for us to work for his good pleasure. But he's also the one that works in us to will for his good pleasure, that to give us the desire to please the Lord. So it's really a blessing that he not only wants us to do this, but he wants us to want to do it, and that he'll work in us to make that possible. And I found it very interesting when I was studying this verse. I never realized that God is at work in you to will and to work for his good pleasure. Those are the same words. He's working in us so that we will work for him. He's giving us the ability to work for God's pleasure and giving us the desire to do it also. We just turn to him. Hopefully this sermon may be a part of what would help you to will for his good pleasure. As you see how important this is to God, how much it's emphasized in the New Testament, that this is a good ambition. We're not trying to earn our salvation. We're not trying to earn God's love. We're not trying to earn God's blessing. We are just trying to express our appreciation for all that he has already done for us. So here, again, if you're familiar with my sermons, you'll know I'm big on application. How many of you are familiar with the Discovery Bible Study Method? Could you raise your hands? There's maybe almost half, at least a third of you. In that, this is what I've been teaching my kids at school. We started halfway through the year. We started every once a week. We would have a Discovery Bible group with my kids in class. What is the passage? We'd read a passage. And John, what does it say about God? What does it say about people? And what are you going to do about it? What is your I will statement? Well, this is your chance for your I will statement about what you're going to do today about this message. And I hope that many of you are prepared to say, I will seek to make God smile this week in the area of. And these are your choices. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand in a minute. You don't have to, but these are the verses that we talked about. 1 John 3:22 about obeying God's commands. If there's some command you know that you're not doing, Colossians 1:10, bearing fruit and increasing in the knowledge of God. Romans 12:1 and 2 about being a holy sacrifice and aspiring to do God's will. Hebrews 13:15 about praising God and giving thanks to him. Hebrews 13 was doing good and sharing. Philippians 4 is the giving, the pleasing aroma to the Father. And then 1 Thessalonians 2:4, which I need to work on, is being entrusted with the gospel, sharing the gospel. So right now I'd like to see hands of those who want to aspire to this in the area of obeying God's commands. 1 John 3:22. Is anybody who was spoken to about that one? Not so much. Okay, the Colossians 1:10, bearing good fruit and increasing in the knowledge of God. Okay, several of you. The next one was Romans 12, 1 and 2, about having a holy sacrifice and acceptable the will of God. Good. How about Hebrews 13, 15, about praising God and giving thanks to him? Several of you have that. Very good. Then Hebrews 13, 16, doing good and sharing. Anybody who's spoken to by that verse? A couple. Philippians 4, 18, about that pleasing aroma of giving. There's a couple of that. And lastly, the 1 Thess 2, 4, about the witnessing, being entrusted with the gospel. A couple of you. So if you don't have to do this, but if you either email me or talk to me afterwards or send me a text, I'll pray for you every day this week that will, you'll be, make some progress on that this week. So if you want to have me praying for you every day by name on that specific area, send me the verse that you're aspiring to improve on, to work to please God. I will pray for you every day this week that you can make progress in that. So, in conclusion, as a sort of illustration of how I've been trying to aspire to this, I decided that when I retired 2 years ago that I wanted to use my golden years for God. I didn't want to kick back. My mentor and discipler, Ron Chin, says that everybody ever says to him, take it easy, he says, no, I don't want to take it easy. I want to hit it hard. And that's what I wanted to do in my retirement years. So the week after I retired from PG&E, after my 43 years at PG&E, I started getting my teaching credential so I could teach at Faith Academy in the Philippines. You can come as a teacher to Faith Academy in junior high or high school if you have a bachelor's degree in that area. You can teach in that area. I could have gone in and taught computer programming, but I... as I got in counsel from Kevin, I decided my real heart is for children, elementary school age children, and you have to have a teaching credential to do that. So I, the week after I retired, I went for 12 months to Cal State East Bay to get earn my teaching credential, and then we went to the Philippines to teach there. It was a hard year. It was... a lot harder than I thought it would be. And I have this t-shirt I showed the people at the missionary prayer meeting Friday night. It says, super teacher by day, super tired at night. That was my life, especially the last half of the year where I was on my own. I had a co-teacher the first half of the year. I only had to teach half the subjects. But come February, when the kids came back in class, I needed to teach them all six subjects. And it was full days now, not just half days like it had been on Zoom. And it was a rough year, but I was really blessed by it. And I'm trying to hit it hard for the Lord in my retirement. We would appreciate your prayer. There's out in the foyer, there's a place to sign up for our prayer email. Comes once a month. You can sign that or text or email me if you're willing to receive that. Many of you already are. There's also materials there about Faith Academy that if you're interested, all of it's free except for the mug. If you want a mug, those are $25. And I have more of those. But all the rest of the material there is free. But this is what I'm trying to do to hit it hard. I'm not saying that you should wait for your retirement to hit it hard. You should try to hit it hard now. You should be pleasing to the Lord now. Don't just wait. Okay, when I retire, I'll start doing this. I'm not saying that. I tried to hit it hard in before I retired. Some of you know. But this is a particular thing that God has called me to do, is to hit it hard in my retirement. And I'm hoping that I'll get that well done, good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for all that you've done for us in giving up your son to die for us. And that's enough. That is, we'll be eternally grateful for that, even if you don't do anything else for us. And we want to express our thanks to you for what you have done, and all the gratitude that we owe you for giving up your son for us, that we might spend eternity with you. Pray that this will have an impact in people's lives today, that all do better in being entrusted with the gospel, that each of us can aspire to bring a smile to your face every day. In Jesus' name, amen.